Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to start a whole new series. We're going to be talking about the emergent church. And what is the emergent church? What do they believe? And we're going to talk about several of the players in the emergent church, people like Brian McLaren and Rob Bell, Doug Padgett, Alan Jones, Tony Campolo, and a whole bunch of other guys. We'll be looking at quotes. We're going to get specific. But the emergent church is a pretty interesting group of people. It is a strange church movement. As we go through this series, you're going to notice some audio issues. You're going to notice the audio quality changing back and forth multiple times. And if you're wondering how I'm speaking about this, no, I'm not a prophet, nor am I a son of the prophets. I'm not a time traveler either, but this is actually my second time recording the first 40 minutes or whatever, however long this takes, of this particular series, because I got to the end. That's right, I've already recorded this series, and then I accidentally deleted the first 40 minutes of this series. So, I'm feeling very good about that. If you can't tell from my voice, I'm very happy that I have to record this again. But whatever the case, maybe the Lord thought that my first go around at the beginning of this series was just not very good. So, or maybe I'm just gullible. I'm not sure what happened, but I deleted it. So here we go. Round two. And the reason why I had some audio quality issues is because the recording equipment, the high-tech recording equipment that you guys are so used to, that I've recorded, well, about 300 episodes. Good grief, 300 episodes on. I'm embarrassed to say it, friends, but it's a BlackBerry phone. I'm recording podcasts on a BlackBerry phone because I'm such a high-budget podcaster. Well, the phone is going out, and I started recording. I had some major problems with the BlackBerry, so I switched over to my new phone, which is an iPhone. And it doesn't, believe it or not, the iPhone does everything better, but it doesn't record very well. It sounds funny. And now I've got my BlackBerry working again, for how long, I don't know. I need to go out and buy some real equipment. It's pretty expensive stuff, so anyway, I'm using my BlackBerry, whatever. you guys can understand me, so whatever. Anyway, the emergent church, what is this? Well, many of you have experienced this movement. There are churches, and just about guaranteed there is an emergent church in your town. They're not normal, okay? If you go in there, you're going to experience some strange things. And they're not all the same, by the way. Trying to nail down the emergent church, there is no official doctrine. There is no official stance on just about anything. But many of these emergent churches, okay, when I go through this series, I'm going to be kind of taking a shotgun blast at them, because really, nailing them down is like trying to nail down Jell-O to a wall. They're so mushy and gushy and wishy and washy. Sorry about that. You just can't really get a fix on anything, really. And so you walk into many of these churches, you're going to see things like lots of candles, dimmed lights. Chances are you might even notice that the pastor, if you can even call him that, the teacher is sitting in the middle of the room. They try to shake things up quite a bit. They're really trying to shake up the traditional view of the church, okay? And for that, sure, why not? I'm okay with that. Don't mess with the doctrine. That's where I'm going to find some issues. But anyway, you're going to find a lot of candles. You're going to find incense, dimmed lights. You might find some statues or icons, paintings, perhaps some more aggressive rock music. You're going to find, you might find couches instead of pews or chairs. Again, none of this I really have too much of a problem with. Maybe if you go into the area of idols or icons or statues, that kind of gives me the hibbity-jibbities. I mean, the second commandment says don't make any idols and bow down to them. But I guess if they're not bowing down to these idols or pictures, I guess I still don't feel comfortable with it. But, okay. But again, don't mess with doctrine. And as we go forward here, you're going to find that the emergent church does a lot more than mess with doctrine. Because really, the emergent church, if you were going to ask for the Michael Bohm synopsis of the whole movement, you could pretty much sum it up in this. They question everything, and they answer nothing. So, if you're anybody like me, there's going to be many times I've said this kind of thing in many series. If you're like me, there's going to be times when you want to just stick your fingers in your ears and shut your eyes and scream because of the insanity of the emergent church. They question everything, and then they refuse to look at the clear and solid answers that are found in the Bible. They even question the text of the Bible, and so they answer nothing. Now, in doing this, they, in a sense, kind of allude to the answers they want, and I mean that. They want those answers that feel nice, that don't convict anybody, you know, the touchy-feely worldly version of the gospel. They're going to gravitate towards those answers, but without flat-out saying it. In most cases. Now, I've got a collection of quotes that I'm going to present throughout this series that will still give you a pretty good idea of where they're standing. But again, there is no official doctrine of their movement. And so all I can do is show you various quotes from these various teachers and give you a feeling of where they're going, where this movement is going, and what they believe. And so, yes, we're going to talk about many different topics here. Postmodernism and its literary friend, deconstructionism, is going to be kind of the theme that rolls through this whole series. I have a short series on deconstructionism, and I have a short series on postmodernism. Postmodernism is basically the rejection of modernism. Modernism is, for the most part, characterized by answers, by looking at something, looking at the straightforward understanding of something and coming to an absolute truth answer. And that's not really modernism in totality, but that's the short version. Postmodernism is the idea that, for the most part, there are no absolute truths. It is this shunning of the idea of trying to come to an answer on anything, trying to, or a shunning of truth statements. They despise truth statements. And the emergent church is an attempt to deal with the postmodern culture. And let's face it, guys, our schools, many of our universities, most of our public school system is postmodern. Now, it's a disaster. The denial of absolute morality. You guys remember the whole lifeboat story we had to deal with? I can't even remember what class it was, but we're on a life raft. Our boat just sank, and there's not really that much food in the boat. and we know we're not going to be found for X amount of days, and we have less than X amount of days worth of food. Somebody on the boat must die. And now we have to go around and look at all the characters on the boat. You know, we've got the old guy, and he probably doesn't have a whole lot of years left on him. We got somebody younger that's terribly sick, and is probably going to die fairly soon anyway. We got a mother and her baby, and I don't know, some other characters. And we got to decide who's going to die, because somebody has to die. It's the concept of situational ethics. Well, in the postmodern movement, there are no absolutes in morality, and absolute truth is absolutely questioned. They deny, for the most part, absolute truth in many cases. And deconstructionism, the literary evil stepsister of postmodernism, is the idea that any given text of a book or a Bible or the Constitution is questioned. And so the absolute meaning of the text that the author intended is questioned, and in most cases, conveniently denied. Now, when it's a text that doesn't challenge you in any way, then deconstructionism, the deconstructionists won't touch it because they don't care. But as soon as the text challenges them in some way, like the Bible, or some philosophical works, or the Constitution, well, then it's a field day for the deconstructionist that wants to give themselves a name and be somebody special. And so they tear into the text and come up with a whole new meaning of what they want the author to be saying, and they'll use all kinds of creative devices to make the author say oftentimes exactly the opposite of what the author actually intended to say. It's a train wreck. It's a disaster. Anything. They'll grab a hold of anything about the author, about the time that it was written, the culture that the author lived in. Perhaps the author was a male, and so they'll try to insert some kind of chauvinistic thing into what he's trying to say, or whatever, whatever the case. And I don't want to get stuck on postmodernism and deconstructionism too much, because I already talked about it in other series, but really, guys, this is kind of the underlying theme that you're going to be seeing over and over in the emergent church movement. So they question everything. They base most of their doctrine, if you can even call it that, because, again, they don't have any set doctrines. They question everything. But you're going to find that most of the doctrine lies in the individual, not in what God said, not in his word. It lies in individual interpretation, because as they question everything, everybody gets to come up with their own answers. And their answers, for the most part, are based on experience. They're based on feeling, that touchy-feely, you know, I just experienced God, and I believe this now. Okay. And you find that in a lot of other movements, too. The Word of Faith has a very experience-driven doctrine that creeps into the church, but the experiences have to happen with the elite. You know, the guys at the top, your Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, all those characters. They come up with the new doctrines, Joyce Meyer, all of them. They come up with the doctrines, and by golly, you better believe it. And then the people down below that are having strange, charismatic, crazy experiences where they fall to the floor and they twitch. And guys, forgive me, I know a lot of my listeners are actually charismatic and Pentecostals. I've heard from a lot of you guys. I've been there, and I've been a part of that movement. And all I see is a lot of theatrics. The people get off the floor. I've been to so many of these conferences and different churches and gone on little miniature charismatic mission trips. People get off the floor. They prophesy. I have heard hundreds of these prophecies. God told me this, God told me that. Not a single one of them came to pass. Not a single one. I've heard a lot of these word of faith official, you know, not personally, but I've heard audio files, if you will, or read quotes of different word of faith guys prophesying, and these new apostolic reformation guys prophesying. They always get it wrong. They always get it wrong, and I am on a major rabbit trail. So let me come back. Let me come back here. Yes, they base a lot of their individual doctrines on feelings, on experiences. So mysticism is a big thing in the Word of Faith, I'm sorry, the emergent church movement. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at many various ways in which the emergent church integrates mysticism into their worship and into their practices. So anyway, let's stop right there. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I've mentioned the resource link that I have done next to nothing with the last couple weeks. I have received many responses from you guys about wanting to just tithe directly. And so I've decided to go ahead and set up a P.O. box. I haven't done that yet, but I will probably within the next week. I'll have a P.O. box, and I'll let you guys know where you guys can send that if you'd like to help out. So anyway, you guys can catch me also on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.